In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. My beloved, today the church chooses to read for us the miraculous catch of fish and the calling, of course, of St. Peter and the four disciples, Andrew, James, and John. And the four of them, and in particular St. Peter, responded to Christ's calling immediately. And this showed their obedience and their love for the Lord. And if you think about, okay, what is the common thread between the four of them, or in particular St. Peter, is that they showed their love in four different ways. They showed their love for God with their heart, with their soul, with their mind, and also with their strength. And this is the Lord's desire for each and every one of us, to love Him, as He says in Mark 12, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And St. Peter, representing the disciples and giving us also an example of how is it that we can love the Lord with all whom we are. All that we have, all that he had, he offered to the Lord. In the same manner, all that we have should be offered to the Lord. And I want to point out the key word here is all, everything. Not part, not some, but he wants all of us. Okay, so we'll see how St. Peter loved the Lord in each one of these aspects, and we can match it to us and measure ourselves in the same way. And if we think maybe, what is it that was in, because at this point the Lord was still choosing his disciples. And I think this was the one characteristic, the obedience and love that he was looking for when he's choosing these disciples out of the men that were there. And he found this in the disciples, particularly these first four that he called. The first we see, St. Peter loved the Lord with all of his heart. What does it mean to love God with all of your heart? Scripture describes the heart as like the place of the desire and the emotions. And we can say that that St. Peter was touched by seeing the Lord in his beginning of his ministry. And if you remember in this passage, what did the Lord do in the beginning? He got on Peter's boat and began to teach the people. So Peter was there listening to what the Lord was teaching. And there was something in, we don't have the details of what was said, but there was something in this teaching that touched his heart so much that even when he asked him to launch out into the deep, he was able to do this because he was touched, you know, in his heart by the Lord. So, loving the Lord with all your heart means to delight in His Word. I enjoy listening to His Word and to be led by His teaching. It's very different when somebody comes and sits down and listens to a sermon or listens to a spiritual talk and just says, oh yes, it's nice, it's good words, very good. And it's very different than somebody who sits down listening attentively, asking themselves what is it that the person who's preaching is saying that I can apply to my life. And it doesn't even have to be like somebody who's preaching in church. You can be listening to a professor or somebody who's a boss or whatever, listening to them speak and teaching, even if it's secular, and applying, see, what is it that I can learn spiritually from this person? This is the person who enjoys to hear or is delighted to hear the Word of God and for this Word to transform our life. Why is it sometimes when we read the Scripture and we read the Bible, we don't benefit from it? Because we don't approach it like this. We approach it as, okay, this is something we need to know just for our knowledge so I can teach it in Sunday school or so that I can share it with my friends or I can defend the faith in case somebody asks. But it's not a manner of, okay, what is it that I can do to change my life? These words are words of life meant to change our life. As the psalmist says in Psalm 119 or 118 in Igbeya, he says, I will delight myself in your commandments which I love. I will delight myself. And it's, you know, if somebody's going to, you know, maybe be delighted by something, they might listen to a certain kind of music or whatnot. But he's saying here that the Word of God is what is delightful to him. We can also ask ourselves, is my desire then to fulfill his will when I listen to this commandment? Is my desire to fulfill his will, or perhaps is my desire to fill my own will? We have to ask ourselves. Not only that, but we can ask ourselves, what? When I hear the Word of God, Do I use the commandments of God to fulfill His will or to fulfill my own will? Sometimes we can use God's commandments to fulfill my own will and desire. If you remember the story of Saul, the king, it begins the stories in 1 Samuel. By chapter 15, after, of course, when he started, he was very humble and everything, but by chapter 15, he was kind of going where he wished. So God told him, okay, go, and I want you to destroy all of the Amalekites. And he says, okay, so he goes, and in listening to God, or thinking he's listening to God, he goes and destroys the Amalekites, and God told him, don't keep anything. Kill, annihilate everything, because my judgment on these people is now. So he goes and he finds some animals that were healthy, they looked good, and he wanted to bring the king back alive so that way he can boast in front of the people and say, I captured the king alive. So he brings all of this back, and then Samuel comes to him and says, what is this that I hear? What is this bleeding of the sheep that I hear? There should be no animals alive, right? Why did you keep it? And he said, oh, these were good animals, we're going to keep them to sacrifice to the Lord. See how he began to justify? So he used the commandment of God to benefit himself. Sometimes, my beloved, we can do this. We can, you know, say, okay, I'm going to do this service, or I'm going to do, you know, XYZ in church. And the purpose is not to do the service, but perhaps to gain the praise of and admiration of my peers. So I'm using the commandment of God to benefit myself, right? Sometimes we do this. Is this loving the Lord with all of your heart? Another aspect of loving the Lord with all our heart is when we witness God's will being fulfilled in the people's lives around us, whether it's their desire for salvation or their transformation or their sanctification or their growth in righteousness and holiness. My delight, the delight of my heart should be and the edification of my brother and sister. And if this was the case, then I would be an instrument of God to edify my brother and my sister. But sometimes we don't do this. If we contrast, perhaps, when we gossip about one another. And again, the purpose of gossiping is to defame someone or to, you know, tarnish their image in front of others. When I speak these kind of things about my brethren, is this loving God from my heart, desiring to see the will of God in their life? Absolutely not. Or when my heart is filled with revenge, and I hear something bad happens to somebody perhaps that I hate, and I delight in their, you know, suffering. Is this loving God with all of my heart? In the book of Obadiah, one of the books of the Bible that doesn't address the Israelites, it addresses the Edomites, right, which were the children of Esau. When the Babylonians were taking the Israelites captive, the Edomites witnessed this, and the refugees were coming to Edom. But what did the Edomites do? They handed them over to the Babylonians, or they gave them a hard time themselves. So in the book of Obadiah, God is rebuking the Edomites, because these are your brethren, and in their time of need, you should have been there for them and to help them and take in the refugees. So what does he say to the Edomites? He says, you should not have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction, nor should you have spoken proudly in the day of distress. So if there's somebody that I don't like or somebody that I hate and I see something bad happen to them, what is my feeling inside? Is it one of joy? And I said, that's what they deserve. يستاهل. Or is my, you know, heart loving God and asking and seeking for their return to Him and aiding when I can? Those who love the Lord with their heart love to be led by His word and delight when others follow His will as well. How about loving the Lord with one's mind? Loving the Lord with mind is loving God with our intellect, with our knowledge, and loving Him with our experience. The experience we gain in life is part of what is processed in the mind. And this is exactly what St. Peter did. He loved the Lord with his mind. Despite being an experienced fisherman, when the Lord Jesus told him, okay, I want you to cast out into the deep and cast the net for another catch. St. Peter understands that this is not the way we're supposed to fish, right? Casting the net is for shallow fishing, And deep sea fishing, you need a rod to get to the bottom of the ocean. But he said what? At your word, I will what? I will cast the net. Meaning what? Despite my knowledge and my experience in this trade, but at your word, I will cast my net. Okay, St. John, I want you to go and I want you to water a stick. Okay, sticks don't have roots, sticks don't bear fruit, but at your word, I will water the stick. And we know what happened to the stick. It budded and made the tree of obedience. So we love the Lord with our mind. Or St. Peter loved the Lord with his mind, and it was expressed in obedience beyond his understanding. The same thing happened with Abraham. When God called Abraham and told him, I want you to leave your father and your house. Okay, where am I going to go, God? He says, just follow me. I'm not going to tell you now. So what does he do? He leaves his father and his family. He begins to follow God, not knowing where he's going to go. So this is obedience even without him understanding. And sometimes in our life, there'll be things we don't understand about God and his order and his will, or even his commandments, or even what the church is instructing us. What do we do then? Do we go with what my mind is telling me? Or do I go and submit to them, knowing that these people, or knowing that God entrusts me and loves me and wants and knows what's best for me? When God asked Abraham to offer a son Isaac as a sacrifice to him, he didn't understand. And the Lord made a very, particular point. He said, offer up to me Isaac, your beloved son, the one whom you love. Meaning what? He's making the point here that this is the son of promise that you've been waiting for all your life. I want you to offer him as a sacrifice to me. And what does Abraham do? He already knows. I obey God. Whenever God says, do this, I do it without question. He took his older son and he went up on the mountain and began to offer him as a sacrifice. St. John Chrysostom comments about this and he says what? He, being Abraham, obeyed not because he understood, but because he trusted. For this is the essence of faith, not to ask for reasons, but to trust the command. He trusted the one who's instructing him is God and loves him and wants the best for him. And he's the one who promised him. So that he trusted that the promise would be fulfilled even if I slay my son Isaac. He trusted without understanding and seeing things as God sees them. Loving God with all our mind, my beloved, is to submit the mind to the commandments of God and his direction. Even when we don't understand, we don't agree, or we don't feel anything in our heart. I'll read for you two quotes about this that maybe we can benefit from, one from St. Basil and one from St. Gregory. St. Basil says, if you submit to God in all things and obey those who are in authority over you as the Lord, you will be victorious in your warfare, even if your opinion does not agree with theirs, for if one were only to obey when in agreement, it would not be obedience, but mere agreement. So he says obedience becomes obedience when we disagree. If somebody tells you to do something and you are in agreement with this and you do it, we just agree with each other. Obedience is when I do something and I don't agree. Then this is obedience. St. Gregory says what? Obedience is rightly preferred to sacrifices because by sacrifices the flesh of another is slain, but by obedience our own will is sacrificed. He says obedience is better than sacrifice because sacrifice, something else dies that's not me. But in obedience, my own will and desire to fulfill what is me, that's what dies. That's what dies. This is loving the Lord with one's mind. Loving the Lord with one's soul. The soul is the essence of our being or our life. So if we can look at the example of St. Peter in today's reading, St. Peter's soul was humbled and was exposed when he realized that he was in the presence of God's holiness and his authority, and he saw himself to be sinful in front of the Lord, and of course we know the Lord called himself the light of the world. So he saw himself as he truly is before the light of God. And when he realized this, what was his, you know, expression? What did he say? He said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." When he approached God and his light, he looked at himself and said, "I am a sinful man, O Lord." You know, oftentimes in confession, sometimes some individuals have a hard time thinking of their sins. And I attribute that to one of two things. Either they don't read the scripture, because the scripture is what tells us what we should be living or how we should be living. So if I don't read the scripture, then I won't know God's desire for me. Therefore, I think everything that I'm doing is good. The other reason is I don't stand before God. If I don't stand before Him, before the light of the world, who exposes my sins, then how will I know that there's anything wrong with me, right? Just like if I go and play outside, and I get all dirty, and I go into the bathroom, and it's a pitch dark, and a pitch black, I look in the mirror, and I see nothing. I see myself, everything's great. But once I turn on the light, and I look at myself, I'm a mess, then I say, no, I need to shower, I need to clean my clothing, and so on. If you remember in the book of Isaiah, when God appeared to Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, this was the same kind of thing. Isaiah understood that this vision was now a vision of God and a vision of heaven. And what does he say? He says, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips." I am undone, a man of unclean lips. He saw himself for who he truly is. He saw himself for who he truly is. Both St. Peter and Isaiah recognize their unworthiness in the presence of God. Those who love the Lord with all their soul are the ones who love the truth and desire to see themselves as they truly are. I think this is the great deception of our age this day, especially with social media. It's to get us to not see ourselves as who we truly are, but to get ourselves to make like this, you know, virtual person of who everybody else wants us to be, and then we portray that person online, but not about being who I truly am in front of God. There's a beautiful psalm in Psalm 73, and it expresses this. When we stand before God, he says what? Asaph says, "I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you." So when he's comparing himself to God, he says, "I'm an animal. I'm like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I'm continually with you. You hold me by my right hand." Whenever we compare ourselves, even if you took like somebody who's super simple, right? Somebody who's like, you know, uneducated, very simple person. Say he works like in a farm or something, right? And you compare this person to a dog or a cat, right? What would we say? Who would be more sophisticated? It'd be the simple person, because he's human after all, right? No matter what, he'd always be more sophisticated than the dog or the cat, right? And then what about if we took this very simple person and put him among scholars from the top universities in the world? How will this farmer think of himself or this very simple? It's like I feel in front of all these people, I feel like I'm a dog or a cat, right? And they're very sophisticated, right? So what if we took these philosophers and these highly educated people and put them in before God? They would look and say, "I am like a beast before you. I am like the dog or the cat before you." So no matter how sophisticated we think we are, when we stand before God, we will be like a beast before Him. Ignorant, unfit, very weak, vulnerable, and so on, and dependent. When we stand before God, my beloved, we understand our weakness, and this is what God reveals to us when we stand before Him. The disciples, they showed their love from their soul by consecrating their life to following and serving Him. If you remember at the end of the passage, when they came back and they saw this miracle, it says when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed Him. This is their soul, their essence. Everything they left to go and follow Him because of this transformation. Lastly, they loved him with their strength. Of course, this is easy. One's strength is one's physical capabilities and perhaps the possessions that they own or the possessions that they have. St. Peter gave what was his to the Lord. He gave his boat and lent his boat for that way it can be used like as a pulpit for the Lord Jesus to preach to the people. He got on the boat, faced the land and stood on the boat and he was preaching the people on the land while he was on the boat. So he allowed his possessions to be used by the Lord to preach to the people. He offered his labor and his strength, right? When he said, okay, they were coming back and they were cleaning the nets and he says, okay, let's go back and launch back out into the deep and cast the net again and catch the fish. All of this was with the labor, right? This is again, he came back from all night, they were fishing, and now he came back from a long day of work or a long night of work, and the Lord is asking him to do the same thing again. So he pulled like a double shift, right? And he said, what? At your word, I will cast the net. And he does it. He used his strength and his effort. This represents giving all that is within our capability to serve God. He wants us to use our God-given strength and abilities to serve him and to serve his people. St. Paul was amazing at this. Despite him having a physical ailment, he served with all that he had. You know, he was a tent maker, you know, as a trade. And he, when he was serving the church of Corinth, because there are people who were robbing the church under the guise of being like true teachers, St. Paul said, I'm going to serve them, but I don't want to take anything from them, lest they equate me to one of these false teachers. So what does he do? He works by his hand as a tent maker, and the money he gets from this, he spends on the church to serve the church. Although the right approach would be that the church supports the minister or the apostle, right? But he says, with them, I'm not going to do this. And what does he say to them in 2 Corinthians chapter 12? Beautiful. He says, I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls. Spend meaning here what? His money, right? The product of his labor, I will give to the church of Corinth. Be spent is what? His labor. The nights he spent preaching to them and teaching them and serving them, right? This is being spent. So he says, I will spend and be spent for your souls. And then the hard part of the verse is what? Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved. So even if those who I'm serving, they don't love me, he served them anyways. He loved them anyways. This is loving the Lord with all our strength. Some would be only if the people like me, then I'll serve them. But all is, I serve everyone, even when I perhaps am unloved or rejected. God's work with humanity has always been this cooperation between our effort and our work and between God's blessing and his grace. We see this in the story of Naaman the Syrian, right? He came to Elisha and Elisha told him to go and dip in the Jordan. And he wasn't going to do it. And then a servant said, just listen, if he would have told you something hard, you would do it. If it's something simple, just do something simple. Finally, he does. He participates in his healing by going and dipping into the Jordan. The blind man, the same. When he anointed his eyes with the clay, he told him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. If he didn't go and wash, there would be no healing. Because there must be a cooperation. When the Lord raised Lazarus from the tomb, he told the people to roll the stone away. Do we not think the Lord could have, you know, rolled the stone? Or had Lazarus come from the stone, like through the stone? Certainly. But he told them to roll the stone. He wants us to use every effort that we can do, and he will do what we cannot. So the question that I ask and I challenge us, myself being the first, is how can I use my possessions to serve God and bring glory to his name? Is my house, our home, a house of prayer? Is it a house of service? Is it a house of sacrifice? Is it a house of love? Is it a house of generosity? How can I use my physical strength to serve others? And we can start by the small stuff. If I'm a Sunday school, you know, child, I can pick up the markers, the crayons of maybe the other kids who left them. If I see something on the church floor, I can pick it up. And it's not only in the church, it's at home. It begins at home. If I see something that needs to be done at home, I do it without even asking, right? This will train us to love with all our strength. So when we're asked to serve, or when any we see an opportunity to serve, we take this opportunity. I don't have to wait for somebody to ask me to serve or ask me to show this love. I do it from myself, right? St. Peter's story, my beloved, shows us how to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, so that we can say with St. Peter, all that I have is yours. And with the four disciples he called, all that I have is yours. The Lord wants all of us, my beloved. He wants all of us, all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength. And each part of us belongs to God, and when we surrender it to him, then we see what God can do in multiplying the fish and the miracles that we saw. May God be glorified in all things. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.